I'm Allison Kaskowski, otherwise known as the Allison K. I'm a fitness innovator and entrepreneur turned business mentor and retreat master. A client experience is more than just making the sale or the transaction. A client experience is about how it's put together so that clients can receive amazing real transformation. Here you'll hear all about how the industry leaders are creating amazing experiences. I'm always going to give it to you straight because I know your time is valuable. Are you ready? Let's get into the show.
Hey everybody, it's Allison Kaskowski. Welcome to Creating the World's Best Client Experiences. This is our Thursday podcast, which is more business focused. The way I like to describe it is it's the offshoot of our very successful Tuesday show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. So, and I like to always talk about the client experience, not just from the standpoint of this is something that you need, but more about how is it that we find ways to massively enhance customer value in what we do? And in doing that, how do we highlight the transformation or the change that our clients and customers get when they work with us? So today, we're going all across the globe today, and we are talking to Phil McGavery, who is coming to us from Canberra, Australia. And he has we're going to talk all about money today. This is like a subject that people have a lot of very charged thoughts and feelings about. And if you're an entrepreneur, a business owner, it's just one of those pillars. You always want to make sure that you have a system and a flow that actually works within your business. Thanks so much for getting up early. It's a day ahead for you and joining me.
G'day, Allison. Yeah, thanks for having me. Yes, we are a day ahead and it looks pretty good from here.
I bet. You said it's like going to be super hot down there today and we're on the tail end of winter here in the U.S. So I think a lot of people listening would probably like to be where you are.
Yeah, that's right. It's funny because I work with clients all over the place and it's always weird to see them sitting in the cold and me sitting in the hot. But so very hot here today.
So you and I were talking before I hit record. Tell my audience a little bit about you and what you do. I know you have been inspired to do your work by a plan that you learned from your grandma, which I find incredibly interesting. And I mean, I've had people on here before where we've talked about money, but I know that what we're going to talk about today is a little different.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. As an 18-year-old, so this will date me a bit, but back sort of 1989, 1990, I had the privilege to spend a year overseas as an adventurous training instructor. And my grandma lived in this sleepy little town called Weston-super-Mare over in, which is a seaside town. And she unfortunately lost granddad quite a few years earlier. So she lived on her own, managed her finances on her own. And every month she used to walk around to the local post office. These are the days before internet banking, and pick up her pension in cash. And then she would come home and she would take down these glass jars from above the stovetop. Mm-hmm. And each glass jar had a label on it for a particular expense. So electricity, housekeeping, which was things like her groceries and her clothes and her haircuts.
Right, had essentials. I said essentials is what I would call that.
Yeah, essentials, that right. Yeah, yes. It was interesting. She only had about six jars. And but that covered everything, including the milkman who used to come around and visit and drop milk and cheese and yogurt and those sorts of things off every day with a horse and cart. But that was just the tradition there. And anyway, she knew exactly how much she needed to put into each jar so that when those bills turned up, whether it was this month's expenses or whether, you know, it was a quarterly expense or an annual expense, she knew that the money would be accumulated in those jars so that when those expenses turned up, the money was just there ready to go. And then the next day, whatever was left over, she would then take to the bank. And initially it was, you know, paying off the mortgage, but then she used it to save money. And then eventually by the time, and I remember going to her to a financial advisor one time that was there because she was putting it into mutual funds and those sorts of things. So she taught me to budget.
And you learned it early. And a lot of people don't learn it early. A lot of people don't learn it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, the problem that we've got today is that everyone walks around thinking that everyone knows more about finances and money than they do. And so as a result of that, we carry this shame and this guilt and this embarrassment and anxiety around money because no one wants to talk about it because they think they're the only person on the planet who doesn't know how to manage it. I was absolutely blessed to have a grandmother that taught me how to budget at the age of 18. But most people aren't. And yet somehow we beat ourselves up about it because we haven't been taught. I mean, think we should just know. But that's just not the way it works.
No, and I'm so glad you said that, because I, like you, was raised early on to budget. I remember when we would get an allowance and we had chores that we had to do, and we always had to give a certain amount to the church. We had to put some in the bank, and then we had some that we could spend on what we wanted. And yeah, it really just teaches you the importance of just being aware of what your money's doing for you. And I cannot tell you how many business owners I talk to that, you know, when I ask them, like, well, you know, what's your budget for this year? What do you project? Like, how much more income do you want to bring in from, say, whatever offer they're working on or whatever? And they just, it's almost like they don't really have a grasp of what's coming in and what's going out. They just know that at the end of the month, they don't have any money.
Yeah, that's right. And unfortunately, we live in this entrepreneurial world where revenue is held up as the metric of success.
Yeah.
And so we all just think that, well, if I could make more sales and more revenue, everything would be okay. But that's not how it works. I've worked with so many entrepreneurs where their, you know, their revenue goes up, but so do their expenses. So, you know, they might be earning $20, $50, $100,000 a month, but they're still no better off in terms of money in the bank because their expenses are kept up with their revenue.
Yeah. And also, I think that as business owners and entrepreneurs, I think it's easy to lose sight of what's going out the door. I think most entrepreneurs listening to this, I mean, I think most people in my audience hear me talking a lot about, you know, the concept of money mindset, right? And that you either allow money to come in to your business or you block it. And when you block it, it's usually because of a subconscious belief or a story or something that you have believed for a long time about why it's not possible, right? And so I think a lot of business owners fall into this trap of thinking, you know, when they find themselves in a place where their cash flow is low, or they know they've got expenses coming up and they know they don't have the cash in the bank to cover it, it's like they go on this spree, if you will, of, you know, let me see how much I can create, you know? So to your point, I think, you know, obviously any successful business owner not only has to have a budget, but you have to more or less know where your money's going or it can't work for you.
Oh, absolutely. And I call it the monopoly money mindset too with a lot of business owners. And when I say a lot, this is actually most business owners. It's like our business money has a different category to our personal money, in that we would be much more careful with our personal money. But when it comes to the business, we're forever spending on new software, coaching, you know, new staff, different ways to advertise, et cetera, et cetera. And we throw money at these things. We'll throw hundreds and thousands of dollars at these things, money we would never spend so freely within our personal world. But because we feel like, well, this is business money, this is an investment, it's a tax deduction, et cetera, et cetera.
And of that is true, but...
Yeah.
Right.
That's exactly right. It is true, but it's also what holds so many people back from, and you know, you and I both know that there's many entrepreneurs out there that are struggling to pay themselves a salary. And really that should be one of the first priorities, is to get your business to the point where you can at least pay yourself a basic salary that covers all of your household expenses, so that your entrepreneurial journey actually becomes sustainable. Most people have it the wrong way around. They just keep throwing money into the business, hoping that one day they'll pay themselves a salary. Whereas you've got to go, no. First priority is pay myself a salary. And then I can, whatever's left over and above that, I can then invest back in the business.
Yeah, there's a reason for why they say pay yourself first.
Oh, absolutely there is. Yeah, absolutely there is.
And I also think that at any point, if for anyone listening who is kind of struggling with this, because anyone knows when you're an entrepreneur, your income does fluctuate. It's up and down quite a bit. And it's not unusual to be at a point in your business where you just don't have the cash to pay yourself first. You know, so I can see why it would be easy to fall into that mindset. But why don't you give us a few like little easy tips to start? Like, you know, for people listening who kind of find themselves in this push and pull situation, you know, frequently, if you're building a sustainable business for the future, you know, where do you start?
That is a great question. And I don't want to get too much into the nitty gritty, but I do understand that this is the biggest problem. This is the biggest roadblock for most people, is simply, where do I start? What do I do? And how do I do it? And in the absence of that, we sort of I regularly meet entrepreneurs that just go, I've got so many hats I'm wearing within my business. Finance is certainly one of the least favorite ones. So if it can't happen easy, I'll keep putting it in the too hard basket.
Right.
Which is a huge mistake. But in terms of where we start, I would say to you, the first thing is start just tracking five numbers within your business. Like there are five really easy to find numbers within your business each month. Now, what is my revenue? We're all really good at that. So what was my revenue for the month? What were all of my expenses for the month? So just knowing what those were, because awareness is everything. Because when you go back and you have a look at that, you can easily then go, oh, okay, these are my expenses. Am I happy with those expenses? Then, of course, what did I pay myself as a salary? That's really important, if anything. From that, we can easily then go, well, here's my income minus my expenses. Have I got a profit or have I got a loss? And that's super important. And then we also need to put aside tax. So there's five numbers. Revenue, what you paid yourself as salary, what your expenses are, how much do I need to put aside for tax, if anything, and what do I have left over from a cash flow perspective? If you could just start tracking those five numbers, rather than just using revenue as your metric, what we want to use is that bottom line of, from a cash flow perspective, how much have I got left?
Yeah, and because also of that, think that we base our progress year to year on what our revenue is. Like
all we do
online all the time, you know, from other coaches saying, you know, I doubled my revenue from last year.
Yep.
Well, that's great, but that doesn't really tell me what you put in your pocket, you know?
Yep. Yep. And one of the regular comments I get from clients that I work with is when they first meet me, they say, Phil, I've doubled my revenue every year for the last 2 or 3 years, 4 years, and I still have nothing in my bank account. And it's a really hard mindset to break out of. I've got a client who lives in Pennsylvania at the moment. Landscaper, fantastic landscaper, but he still gets caught in this, oh, you know, I've made this much revenue. Well, that's great, but how much do you get to keep? And even though he's done really well since we've been working together, he still has a mindset about revenue. And I have to keep bringing him back to, no. It's this bottom line. What do you get to keep that matters? Yeah,
well, to your point, I feel like it's just how we're conditioned in today's world. Like successful businesses, double, triple, whatever their revenue. But that doesn't really say there's a difference between that and actual profit.
Oh, absolutely. And the difference between, and one of the problems we've got is the way the accounting framework is set up. If you look at your P&L, the P&L tells lies. Like the P&L doesn't tell you the full story. And so I regularly see people that go to their accountant pats them on the back and says, well, well done you. You've made a profit this month. And you're going, okay, well, where is it? Because it's not in my bank account.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And that's because, you know, your profit and loss doesn't include things like, well, have you had major equipment purchases? Are you paying off debt? Of course, there's tax you've got to factor in that it's not included in the P&L because that comes out of the profit. If you take drawings from the business yourself that isn't a W-2, they're not counted in the P&L. So it's very easy for you to be in a situation where you go, well, where's it gone? I don't have it. But can I come back to your original question? Where do we start?
So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled cellevate.com, which is C-E-L-L-E-V-8.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
I would say, look, just if you could just track those five numbers. And in fact, we talked about this earlier, but I've got a free training for anyone that's out there and thinking, well, how, where do I get started with my finances? It's called My Profit Snapshot. And this is, it's a spreadsheet as well as a training. It's about a 10-15 minute training that walks you through, well, how do I actually do this? How do I actually find those five numbers? Because once you've got clarity on what those five numbers are, you can then start asking yourself all the right questions. What do I need to do so that I have more money left over that's mine to keep next month? And when you've got the full picture, you've got all the variables there, it suddenly starts to become a lot easier.
Yeah, I love that. It's just, again, I was having this conversation with somebody earlier about fitness. It's like, because that's my background. And it's that, you know, people want to make changes when they don't see results quickly. Well, this isn't working. Yeah. I have to move to something else. And so it's like I always say, look, the basics aren't sexy, but the basics work. That's why they're called the basics.
And that's exactly right. That's exactly
right. Not the magic bullet, right? It's just to be consistent and keep repeating, right? Repeat, like what you're saying.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But there's something you touched on a bit earlier, Allison, was just about people when they go, well, you know, our revenue fluctuates. So it's, you understand how people, how they can't pay themselves. And you're right. That's absolutely right. But this is where I have what I call a cascade. Whenever I call it my financial roadmap, my financial cascade. But whenever I meet with a client, I always visualize their finances like a cascade, you know, interconnecting pools of water. And so I always suggest to people, look, think about your income coming into your business or into your personal life, it works for both, as rain coming down on a mountaintop. That rain hits the mountain, forms a stream, that stream flows into a pool. Now, if you think about the rain as your income, you've got your revenue or your income coming into your business, and the first pool being your operating account. If we're pouring more money into our operating account than we're taking expenses out, ultimately, our operating account is going to fill up, okay? And our goal is to identify, well, how much is full for my operating account?
Yeah.
So how much do I need to have sitting in that operating account for me to be able to pay my salary and cover my expenses for the next month? And typically, I suggest that we make that 1.5 times your average monthly expenses and your average monthly salary. And so that might say, let's say your average monthly salary is 5,000, your average monthly expenses is 5,000. That's 10,000. We times that by 1.5 because that's an average figure. So we've got $15,000. We can then say, okay, I need to have $15,000 in my operating account at the end of each month. And so the goal is if I pour more into that account than I take out, eventually that my operating account will fill up until I've got my $15,000. And in fact, let's just say I get to the end of the month and I go, woohoo, you know, I've got $20,000 in there. Then I can, so I've got five more than I need. That can overflow down into your next cascade. Your next cascade is what I call the rainy day fund. That is for the unexpected expenses. And that should be, let's say we make that 1 times your average monthly salary and expenses. That's there just in case something big happens and we need some extra money. The next pool, so once we've got more money in there than we need, the next pull down is to eliminate debt. Now, the reason we have debt down at pool 3 is because if we've got our known expenses covered with our operating account and we've got our unknown expenses covered with our rainy day fund, then we know that every dollar that cascades down into our debt will pay off our debt and stay off our debt forever. And then eventually we'll be able to work our way through that debt. In essence, that pool then becomes full once our debt is eliminated. What we then do is once we've got our debt eliminated, that money just flows straight through the debt pool into the what I call the cash reserve pool. And ideally, we then want to turn your rainy day fund into more like 3 months worth of reserves. And this is really powerful because that what you were saying before about, well, you know, they hit a couple of bad months and can't pay themselves. By having a rainy day fund, sorry, by having a cash reserve there, what that allows us to do is if we don't have enough money coming in to fill up our operating account, then we can take that from our reserves to top up our operating account so we can continue to pay all our business expenses and we can continue to pay ourselves a consistent salary.
Yeah, and then you just replenish the rainy day fund. It's really
exactly right. And so I go through this cascade, and then like the next step, once we've got our cash reserve filled up, I mean, we talked before about Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey, he has the Sharon Fund for his business. Sharon's his wife, where they put a percentage of all their earnings every single month into that reserves, so that they are never in a situation where they can't pay salaries and can't cover business costs and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And so, as entrepreneurs, we need to think like business owners. We actually need to build that stability. And the beautiful thing about this is, as you do this, let's just say you take on you're a mum and dad entrepreneur, and you take on a VA for the first time, a virtual assistant, and they cost you $1,000 a month. Then what that means is that we now need more sitting in our operating account, because we've now got their salary to cover. We now need more sitting in our rainy day fund. So what happens is we're basically building the base of our business, the stability of our business, wider as we take on additional expenses within the business. So it's like building the base wider, or the foundation wider, so our business can go higher.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I love the simplicity of just the visual, you know, of the cascading water. It's like, you know, the cash just goes into one of these four funds. So, I think most people, probably a lot of people, just have their own system and whatever that looks like. But I love the simplicity of that, because I think that's really what holds people back. Is that it feels hard, it feels complicated.
Yep.
And really, at the end of the day, it's just information. It's nothing indicative about our self-worth or about our ability to succeed or any of that. But that's why money just has so much charge to it for people.
Oh, it is. And as I said earlier, you know, we walk around thinking that everyone knows better than us, and there's a lot of shame and embarrassment with that. But, you know, and it's silly because it stops us from talking to people about it. But the reality is everyone else is sort of blindly wandering around trying to work it out too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are sometimes even just trying to change and do different things rather than sticking with something.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
Yeah. So we've talked about some things where people listening could actually get started. But before we wrap up, what's your best piece of advice for people listening? And my thought is that I feel like, you know, people listening may feel pretty good about their system, but maybe they still feel like they want to be better about it. And then the other thing that I'd love your thoughts around is, like, you know, what happens for a business owner who feels like they've really got this down? You know, what would literally be the next step?
Ah, well, I'll answer that one first, Alison, then we can come back to the cascade continues on. And so that's the thing. We go, okay, as I said to you, is my operating account full? And so every month, this is just almost like a checklist. Is my operating account, is that pool full? Is my rainy day fund pool full? Have I got rid of my debt? Have I got, you know, is my cash reserve in place now? Next step down then is for, okay, this water, assuming these pools are full, the water just cascades from one to the next, And ultimately, our last pool in the business cascade is investing back in the business. So do I want to take on new staff? Do I want to, you know, hire a coach? Are there areas that I want to grow and scale in? And so you've got the cash flow there that you can clearly see every month, that you know you can sustain that. But the beautiful thing is once we get to this, we go, well, look, now the business is humming along. I don't need to invest anything back into it. Then we take that money and we start putting that into our personal lives. And the personal lives then has exactly the same cascade, except it's a bit longer. So we've got have I got my personal expenses covered at home? Have I got my rainy day fund in place? Have I eliminated my debt? Have I now got a cash reserve? And then once we get to the reserve, beyond that, we've got, okay, what are my life goals? And this is, we lose sight of this as an entrepreneur so often. You know, we forget that I became an entrepreneur because I wanted to do something I believe in and I love. I want to have more time with my family, and I want to earn more than I could working for someone else. They're the three big drivers for most entrepreneurs. And we sort of lose sight of that in the busyness of the business. But our goal is to actually get money out of our business as quickly as possible so that we can then start to create the life that we actually want. Once we get it flowing through the personal cascade, we get down to, what are my life goals? Do I want to buy a house? Do I want to pay the house I've got off? Do I want to take the family overseas? Do I want to, you know, put my kids through good schools? What are those goals for me? And then beyond that, we've got investing. So this is where we start to turn business success into personal wealth. So we want to ultimately replace our work income or our income from our business with passive income from investments. And then we've got giving. So I'm a big believer in giving. My wife and I have given literally over the years hundreds of thousands, actually millions of dollars to causes we care about. So our goal is to get down to that bottom one where we've got, you know, we're hitting our life goals, but we're also using the money we've got to change the lives of others.
Yeah, I love
so that is sort of the sequence.
It's really all part of this bigger picture, you know, listen.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Yeah. I have a book called The Cash Flow Fix. And in that, it actually goes through the business side of things with the cascade, the business cascade first. But then we flow into the personal cascade because we forget that in the business of the business. But our ultimate goal is to start feeding income into our personal cascade so that we can live the life that we actually want.
Yeah, because ultimately, that's why we start a business, is to have the life we want.
Yes, and we lose sight of that. It suddenly starts to become about sales and revenue.
It happens more often than you'd think.
Yes.
It's hard sometimes for people to see past all that, but usually it's because they don't have a system in place that they're really committed to working. It's kind of flying
that's exactly
by the
right.
pants almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is awesome. Where can people connect with you?
I've got a website, philmcgilvray.com. So we'll put this in the show notes. I know it's probably a bit hard to pronounce. But I have a book, as I said, The Cash Flow Fix, which actually is currently like 99 cents on Amazon, which actually talks through this entire process. Also, I've just started up a school group. School is an SKOL. It's like a new platform for communities, for entrepreneurs, where we walk through this exact process. So, starting with the absolute basics, assuming that we know nothing. So they're probably the easiest place. I am on LinkedIn as well if people want to grab me there.
Okay. And so your school group is called the Cash
School Group Financially Fit Entrepreneur.
Financially Free Entrepreneur?
Financially Fit Entrepreneur.
Oh, Financially Fit Entrepreneur. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. All right. Awesome. Thanks so much for getting up early and chatting with me this morning from the land down under. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Allison. It's been fantastic.
Of course. So folks out there listening, it's still a good time to take a look at the goals that you have for your business. You know, the financial goals that you have for your business. I think we tend to look at this. I know this is what I used to do in the rearview mirror a lot, like and think, you know, I should have done this sooner. I wish I had known. I just can't be consistent with it. And the key with all this really is just having a simple plan that you can work. And so this might be an episode that you want to bookmark and go back to. And if you know anybody in your life that really needs to hear this, please feel free to copy the link and send it to them as a free gift from me. Or you can connect with me on my site at www.theallisonk.com and just hit the connect button and we will share it for you. Because this is how we've been able to build a really large worldwide audience, and why I tell everybody all the time that I have the best audience is why I keep showing up. So that's what I got for you this week on the podcast, folks. We really appreciate all your support, following us, subscribing, downloading, sharing. We're always open to feedback. My DMs are always open. You can find me on any of my socials, or you can just write to me directly. I do answer all of my emails. Nobody on my team does that for me, at least not yet. So I'm always open to what you think. So that's what I got for you this week, folks. We will see you next time. Bye.